something. Anytime I preach a sermon and I say something incorrect, I like to come back and publicly correct it. And one of the things I said is, you cannot sing and complain at the same time. Well, Brother Barnes came to me and says, yes, it is possible. Apparently, there's this show called Hee Haw, and this guy says, pain, misery, distress on me, or something. And so, if you know that song, I'd like for you to sing it to me after church, and so I can get the tune down really well. Amen? But with that being said, look at somebody today and say, I'm so thankful I don't look like you, and give them a good handshake. Amen? No, it's good to be in the house of the Lord and greet one another at this time. Amen?
Amen. Well, if you head on back to your seats, grab your hymnal, and continue standing with me, we're going to turn one page over to hymn number two. Hymn number two. Let's sing it out. Let's not sing it too slow, but really listen to the words as we sing it on the first.
Oftentimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All tears forever over, and God's eternal day, it will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of His face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Let's sing on that last and think of the hope we have in Him on the last.
Life's day will soon be o'er, the storms forever pass. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys in heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till
thanks for singing. You may be seated.
He took my sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore my burden on Calvary and suffered and died alone.
Let's stand one last time. We did hymn number one, hymn number two, so let's do the next progressive step in hymn number 244. Hymn number 244. Let's stand together. Hold the fort. Let's sing it out on the first.
Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals there. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will.
You know, many times we're kind of in this conflict. Many times we feel like we're losing, it's getting to the end of the battle, and we just kind of give up. But Jesus there is saying, hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming. Just hold the fort. Let's sing, on the third, see the glorious banner waving. On the third.
See the glorious banner waving. Hear the trumpet blow. In our leader's name we'll triumph over him. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will.
And on that last, fierce and long, the battle rages, but our help is near. On the last.
Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander, cheer my comrades, cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals still. Back to heaven, by thy grace we will.
Amen. Thanks for singing. You may be seated.
All right, gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll get ready to receive this evening's offering. We'll go over a few announcements. Miss Rebecca Russell, she lost her dad this week, and the funeral's going to be tomorrow at 11 o'clock up at Dido Cemetery. It's going to be a gravesite up there. So please be in prayer for the family as they put him to rest, please. Tonight, as I announced this morning, Brother Tom's favorite son-in-law. Brother Brian Johnson is going to be presenting his work and preaching for us. And immediately tonight after the service, us kiddos, the youth department, we're going to run up to Azle and grab us a blizzard or a moth or a freeze, one of those brain freeze things. Or if they want to get a double cheeseburger, it's up to them. I'm looking at a blizzard personally. So the parents will be back in the parking lot at 9 o'clock. We'll be back by 9 o'clock. Let's see here. Ladies retreat this Saturday. They're going to be leaving the church at 7:30. So to go to Waxahachie for ladies' retreat. So please remember that. Men's breakfast on the 22nd. That's going to be at 10 o'clock here at the church, best I recall. Brother Chuck has more information on that. Let's see, further down the line, let's see what we need to announce here. Let's go ahead and talk about the TTU coming fall semester. They've got sign-up sheets in the back. Any other information you need to know, see Brother Allen about that. And I've already had a little response for this, and I don't have an address yet. Somebody might, but we're working on it. Brother Matt Holder, Captain Matt Holder, U.S. Army, in Afghanistan, he has told us that he has the only slushy machine in Afghanistan. And it's been 128 degrees over there. I think we got close today. I don't know. It is hot outside. But he has got a lot of people coming through his fob, through his little corner of the world. And he's been serving them Gatorade. Slushy Gatorade. Who would have thunk it? I mean, but it's great. But he's asked if we could help him out. He said the Gatorade don't last long when it's 128 degrees over there. And if we could help him out, just get him some, send it to him. He said they fit great in his little one-rate boxes and put a personal note in there for him. And we will get the address. We're still working on that. As of Friday, we had called Miss Jennifer and trying to get his fob address, and we haven't got yet. I think somebody here might have it. Brother Rick Bagwell, do you have Matt Holder's fob address by chance? Not offhand? Okay. All right. He mentioned he might have gotten something from you. I don't know when I talked to him the other day. So if y'all can, somebody get him some Gatorade and ask him what flavor. He said it doesn't matter. They like it all. And I had never thought about Gatorade slushies, but it sounds pretty good. So let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Lord, be it the offering about to receive, be it the gift and the giver. Be it Brother Johnson as he comes, presents his ministry, and then gives us your word, Lord. Lord, please hide him behind the cross. It's you giving the words you want him to say, Lord. Lord, please prepare our hearts. Be it the preacher and Miss Marcia as they're traveling tomorrow. Keep them safe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Our speaker tonight, I'm honored to have him come and preach and give us an update on his ministry, is Brother Brian Johnson and his family to Lithuania. Very few times in this world you can find a man who believes the book and lives by the books and serve the Lord in the country where God has called him. I just asked him just now, I went over to him, how many years have you been in Lithuania? He's been in Lithuania 17 and a half to 18 years, that he sacrificed his life and his family's life so that people can hear the gospel and the word of God. And so we appreciate that, preacher. We really do. So at this time, I'll have your missionary, Brother Brian Johnson, come give us an update. And the pulpit is yours, my friend. Thank you, sir.
Amen. All right. First of all, I want to say that we are very grateful to be here this evening. And we want to thank you for your faithfulness in the area of missions in general, but in specifically supporting our family over these last 17 years. Well, actually, you've been supporting us longer than that. On our first initial deputation between 96 and 98, we came by the church here, and you folks took us on at that time. So you're definitely one of the churches that have supported us the longest in our ministry, and we just thank you very much for that. You've been a blessing to us over the years, and we do appreciate you. We've had a great time being down here in Texas the last 3 weeks. And for me, being able to come in and just sitting down out there and listen to your preacher preach, hey, that's a blessing, amen. You folks got a great preacher, you know it? and a good man of God. He loves you, loves the church, and loves the Lord. And so that was good for me, a little rest, relaxation. We've been out preaching a little bit, not a whole lot. This time back in the States has been more about family. We've been able to do a lot of things as family. We've only been here since July the 12th, and we go back August the 24th. So just about another week and a half, 2 weeks. Actually, it's 2 weeks from tomorrow. We fly back to Lithuania. So anyway, I'm going to show you the presentation here. It's about 8 minutes long, and I'll just make a few comments after that, and then we'll preach. But if you have any questions, please be sure, write them down. I know if you're like me, you'll forget the questions that you have, okay? So get a pen and paper out, write those questions down, and at the end, we'll be standing out in the foyer out there. Next to the poster, we have some newer prayer cards as well, and we'd like you to have a prayer card as well. So don't forget, if you got questions, write them down and feel free to ask myself or my wife or even the kids, all right? So at this time, I'd like to show you the presentation. Emily, and we have been serving as missionaries in the country of Lithuania since 1998. We thank God for the opportunity of raising our family on the mission field. When Lisa and I went to Lithuania just over 17 years ago, it was just the two of us. Since then, our family has grown and now we have 4 children. Caden, Kaylee, Chase, and Levi. Although our kids are citizens of the United States of America, they consider Lithuania to be their home. The Utena Baptist Church was started in September of 1999. Over the years, many people have been saved and baptized through this ministry. We have thoroughly enjoyed working with these people and appreciate the many lifelong friendships that have developed over time. Today, the Utena Baptist Church stands completely on her own and is not financially dependent on any outside sources. They organize outreach projects, camps, various activities for all ages, support various mission projects, and have a vision for helping me to reach out into their entire county in 2016. I thank God for the faithful people of the Utena Baptist Church. I would like to take the next couple of minutes and share our ministry vision with you for the next year. We call it 2016, a year of focus. The Utena Baptist Church is the only established and organized Baptist church in our entire county, which has a population of roughly 180,000 people. We are now in the process of organizing a county-wide evangelization effort. Our desire is to create opportunities to preach the gospel in multiple cities in our county throughout 2016, with the ultimate goal of starting churches in those cities. We plan to target the 6 largest cities in our county, which are Aniche, Utena, Zerese, Visaginas, Ignalina, Molete, Our plan involves holding citywide evangelistic campaigns in each of these cities, followed by a 6-week Bible study program. Through these follow-up meetings, we will have a good idea of whether or not a church can be started in that particular city. Please pray for us as we plan and prepare for this work. In summary, our ministry goal for 2016 is a year of focus, 6 cities, 12 months, 6 evangelistic campaigns. We estimate that each campaign will cost roughly $2,500. This would include developing and printing needed materials, advertising, rent, other miscellaneous expenses,
In order to make this ministry vision possible in 2016, we need to raise $15,000. This would totally finance each of the six phases of this plan. Would you prayerfully consider sponsoring one of these evangelistic campaigns? Any amount given to help make this project a reality would be greatly appreciated. Our family would like to thank you for your prayers and financial support over the years. We know that we would not have this opportunity to serve as missionaries in Lithuania if it was not for you and your generosity.
Came up in your mind regarding a question or whatever, as I said, make sure and write that down, and you can speak to myself, my wife, or the kids after the service this evening. We'll be happy to answer those questions. Just a couple things regarding that. We have a blessing this morning. Lisa and I, we left the kids with Grandma and Grandpa. That was good, amen. Lisa and I had a little getaway, amen. We drove 2 hours south of here, and we were in a little church out in the country, and they saw this. They got excited about it, and they've already made a commitment to sponsoring one of those evangelistic campaigns. So that's a commitment of $2,500 there. That's two different churches already that I know that have made that commitment to help. Now, that is undershooting on our budget, okay? We expect that it's going to be even more expensive than that. What I'm going to do when I get back September, October, November, December, I'll be traveling through some of the Lithuanian churches and encouraging them to get involved, first of all, physically. All right. Well, prayerfully, first of all, amen. Second of all, physically, I'm going to invite them to come and help. Third of all, financially. There are several churches now throughout the country that can help and will help, and I believe will be willing to put their finances toward it and get involved in 2016, a year of focus. For us, it's going to be a very different year. We've never done anything like that where we concentrated on six different locations, 2 months given to each location, things like that. So it's going to be very different for us. We have a lot of organizational things to take care of and so on during the next 4 months. But that's why now we're recruiting some prayer help, amen, some prayer warriors. And please be praying for us in our efforts coming up 2016, a year of focus, all right? What else can I tell you? We have preachers there in the church in Utena and the church itself. I mean, they're already volunteering. They're ready to go with this. And we have a couple of preachers there in the church in Utena who will be working alongside of me. And if we, our goal is to, listen, it's going to be a giant fishing expedition this next year. Amen. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. And we're going to go do some fishing. All right. And so I've got some men that have dedicated themselves as far as volunteering and stuff to help out with that effort. And of course, our goal is to see folks saved, discipled, baptized, and start churches in those other cities. Now, out of the six cities, Utena, there's already a church, but we're going to do the campaign there to be a help to the church. Two other cities, Zedersa and Molete, we already have small groups that are meeting there in those cities, but they're not organized as far as an organized Baptist church yet, you know, self-sufficient, all that kind of stuff, financing all their own stuff. So what we're going to do is hopefully use that to find some new folks and to get in there with them. And then three cities has absolutely nothing whatsoever. So anyway, it's a lot of work, a lot of organization, all that kind of stuff. But we believe that this is what God would have us to do in 2016. So please, again, pray for us as we think about 2016, a year of focus. Open your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. I remember when I was in Bible college, and one of the places that I often preached at was the rescue mission. And I went to the rescue mission. I told the guys, all right, today we're going to preach on the rich man and Lazarus. And when you go to a rescue mission, a lot of times the preachers preach on that. So half of the fellows out there, they kind of rolled their eyes a little bit, and you know, because they had heard it so many times. Well, this church here, you have a reputation for missions, amen? And that is a great reputation to have. You send missionaries, you support missionaries, you love missionaries, you're faithful in the area of missions. And when I announced my text, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I saw some of your eyes roll up in the back of your head a little. No, I'm just kidding. It's not like that, okay? But this here is one of the most preached texts regarding missions that we find in a lot of missions conferences and things like that. But if you'll be patient with me today, I'm going to try to take you and hopefully help you to understand this in maybe a different way today, all right? Maybe a little different way. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. I tell you what, why don't you stand with me? We're going to read this verse. And there's so many people in this auditorium right now that I imagine you could quote this verse by heart. You know this verse. You've heard it. It's been preached. You've had banners with this verse on it. And it's probably been themes of your missions conferences in the past. But I tell you what, why don't we read it together tonight, all right? We're going to read this verse together. Here we go, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. The Bible says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth." Father in heaven, we love you tonight. And God, we thank you so much for this opportunity that you have given us, the freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States of America, that we can meet together. We can encourage one another. We can pull out your book and boldly preach the truth that is contained in your word. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us here tonight. God, I pray that you would just minister to our hearts and to our minds and to our souls tonight. God, stir us up again for this matter of missions. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all that you do in our midst tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, as I said, is one of those texts that you often hear missionaries preach about and so on. But listen, what he says there, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, in essence, I want you to preach the gospel, amen. I want you to be witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Verse number 9, I believe, is a very important verse here. Now listen, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now I want you to understand, folks, just for a second here, what has actually taken place. Not only did Jesus Christ speak these words to his church there, his disciples, those that were gathered together, but these were the last words that he spoke before ascending up into heaven. Listen, this subject of missions was so vitally important to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he chose it to be his theme before he left out and ascended up into heaven. He said, folks, listen, I want you to pay attention on purpose, amen. Sit up and listen. He said, I want you to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. I believe with all my heart that if the Lord Jesus Christ physically was here tonight at Metropolitan Baptist Church and you gave him the opportunity here to preach, and I think we ought to do that, amen. If it's the Lord Jesus Christ, we say, hey, the pulpit is yours, amen. We let him preach and teach us a little bit. And before he left this auditorium, I bet he would say the same things tonight to Metropolitan Baptist Church. Hey, be concerned about your Jerusalem, your Samaria, your Judea, and the uttermost part of the earth. He says here, listen to that verse. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. That means, hey, they're supposed to be all about doing all of those things all at the same time. Amen. And Metropolitan Baptist Church, you have been doing that for years, and I praise God for you. Amen. I praise God for your testimony and the way that my in-laws, they talk about you, and they love you. And listen, I love you for loving them. Amen. Listen, this church, you know a lot about missions. You've got missionaries. You support it. You hear it, all that kind of stuff. But I want you to understand and get it and just let it grip your heart and your soul tonight that Jesus chose to speak about this before ascending up into heaven above any other topic that he could have spoke about. Now, tonight, I want to speak to you about the dangers of forgetting mission work. The dangers of forgetting mission work. You see, there are a lot of good churches that over the years, they have grown in number, they have grown in their finances, they have built beautiful buildings, they have been involved in raising up preachers and raising up missionaries and sending them out and so on. And it comes a point in the time where they just become complacent and they think about how good it used to be and how good it was, and they kind of lose their focus about world evangelism, and they worry about and they think about and they're concerned about just themselves. And then you see those churches over time kind of dwindling down and so on. Why? Listen, I believe that the success of any church is directly linked to its involvement to missions. I believe that with all my heart. But the danger is if we forget about missions. Now, Jesus Christ, as I said, he spoke these words and he spoke them to his disciples. It was not cloaked in any type of mystery. It was not difficult to understand. There was no secrecy about it. Everybody that was there, they understood plainly what Jesus was speaking. And they heard the words, be witnesses. You talking to me, Jesus? Yes, he's talking to you. Amen. And you are to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And I believe there, that day and that meeting, they were excited about doing just that. And then the Bible says Jesus went up out of the midst of them and he went up into heaven and so on. So these words that were spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ, God in flesh, God is the same yesterday, today and forever, rung true for that church that was there in Jerusalem, and it rings true for Metropolitan Baptist Church tonight as well. I want to show you this powerful church that forgot about their responsibility to involve themselves in the work of missions. We know from the scripture, and you know from your pastor and the missionaries and the preaching and the Sunday school classes and all that, you know that we are to be involved in missions and involved in missions work. But I want to show you tonight what can happen to a church that is not obedient to the command of bringing the gospel, not only to their Jerusalem, but also Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Number one tonight is simply this. Number one is God's command to a powerful church. God's command to a powerful church. This church at that time, according to verse number 15, numbered about 120. It wasn't very large in scale, but we are going to witness here in the next few chapters at how this church grew at a very fast pace, and it went from 120 to thousands of members in that church in just a very short period of time. God's command to a powerful church. God knows the past. God knows the present. God knows the future. God understood what was going to happen and what was going to take place and the revival that was going to be there among the Jews after the day of Pentecost. And He knew what would happen in Jerusalem. And therefore, Jesus says, I want you to get ready, amen. I'm going to give you a command, and I'm going to give you the commission, and I'm going to give you the authority to carry it out. Preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Again, Jesus spoke those words. They heard it. They understood it. It wasn't in secret. It wasn't a parable. It wasn't some cloaked meaning in there. It was clear as day, and they knew it, and they should have done it. Well, as we go to Acts chapter number 2, they were waiting there for a number of days, and all of a sudden you have the day of Pentecost, and whew, what an amazing day that was. Now that you could preach a series of sermons right there on Acts chapter number 2, but I want to just take one verse, verse number 41, and share that with you. Verse 41 says this, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Amen! 120 according to chapter 1 verse 15, and now 3,000 souls are added to them. They heard the preaching. They understood the preaching. They repented of sin and they placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And they got saved. And what I imagine they were hooping and hollering and just carrying on in Jerusalem. And whoo, God's doing a work and the church is on fire. Amen. And there they are, 3,120 in Jerusalem. Now look with me, Acts chapter number 4. And verse number 4, the Bible says this, Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Boy, that's exciting to me right there. You see, it's not even including the entire number. They're just counting the men now. In the beginning, there was 3,000 that believed and were added unto the church. And here in Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 4, there's 5,000 men who placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They heard the preaching and they got excited about it. They repented of their sins. They trusted Jesus Christ. Amen. They're baptized. They're added to that church. There's now, listen, 5,000. There's got to be probably 5,000 women and a whole bunch of kids. Amen. We're looking already here in the history of that New Testament church, that first church there in Jerusalem. We're looking easily now over 10,000 people. And there's not been a great span of time that's went by since Jesus gave that command in Acts chapter number 1 and then ascended up into heaven. But Jesus told them, He said, I want you to be witnesses in Jerusalem, but also Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. So far, it's only taken place in Jerusalem. Look with me, Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5, in verse number 14, the Bible says this, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and of women. Multitudes. 3,000, 5,000 men. The count is so high now that they don't even take time to number how many people are placing their faith in Jesus Christ. And could you imagine what it was like in Jerusalem in that day? Could you imagine the excitement among those believers that were there? Could you imagine what it was like and see that type of explosive growth in a church? Oh man, I've never seen the like of that ever. But I'd like to, amen. But these folks saw it. They were there and they experienced it. Look at chapter number 5 and verse number 28. They're getting in a little trouble now by the leaders of the city and so on. And so they kind of corner them up in verse 28. They tell them saying, did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled. Next word, help me out. Jerusalem. You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. On one hand, we look at that and we say, whoa, praise God. But on the other hand, we think about, hey, wait a minute. What about Judea? What about Samaria? What about the uttermost part of the earth? The command that Jesus Christ gave them was fourfold. And now up until this point, it's only taken place in Jerusalem. You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Verse number 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, Hey, I'd like to share with you my faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. They went knocking on doors and banging on tent doors, and they went into businesses, and they were all about reaching Jerusalem with the gospel. And it says there, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach Jesus Christ. Amen. Whoo, I liked it. But again, the question comes up. What about Judea? What about Samaria? What about the uttermost part of the earth? You see, sometimes churches get really excited about winning the lost to Christ, but they don't extend their focus outside of their Jerusalem. And Jesus said, I want you to do this at the same time. He said, I want you to be witnesses in Jerusalem, also Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Now listen, if they were to be obedient to that command, then they should have been all about preaching the gospel everywhere to all men. But no, they preached it in Jerusalem to Jews, and the church now numbers in the thousands. Look at Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6, we have a very unique situation here that has come up. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in their daily ministration. Listen, there was so many people now, the 12 apostles, man, they couldn't handle it anymore. And they said, we got to do something about this. And they were led of God, I believe, to elect some godly men, 7 of them, and they called them deacons. Now, deacons are a wonderful thing and a wonderful asset to any church. Amen. Godly man, full of wisdom and the Holy Ghost and understanding and all of those types of things. And let's see what the result here is when the deacons are elected and they're just thrust into ministry. Verse number 7. And the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in... Next 2 words. The number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. My friend, let me ask you a question tonight. What about Judea? What about Samaria? What about the uttermost part of the earth? And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And listen, this church here was a large church, and God knew the potential of this church, that she had a great potential. You think about the number of people there that were able to have ministry and that they were able to preach the gospel and go into the houses and share their doctrine and go into the temple and share the doctrine, go into the marketplace and share their doctrine. But why? Why did they not take it to Samaria? Why did they not take it to Judea? Why did they not take it to the uttermost part of the earth? You see, this church had great potential. The Lord knew that. Jerusalem church had many members who were dedicated to serving God as long as it was with the Jews and within the city walls of Jerusalem. It was a huge priority for them. They had great influence in that city of Jerusalem because of their number, which was several thousand. They had much money at their disposal, that they should have invested in missions. You look at Acts chapter number 4, you don't have to go there. I'll read the verses, verse 34 and 35. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses, they sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. That church had people. That church had power. That church had influence. That church had finances. But they forgot about missions. They involved themselves in preaching the gospel in Jerusalem, but in Jerusalem only. Now, the command was fourfold. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. What happens when we disobey our father? Ask my kids, they'll tell you. I'm their daddy, all right? And if I gave them 3 or 4 things to do and I come home and only one of them are done, the other 3 ain't, listen, I'm going to have to educate them a little bit, amen, all right? I'm going to have to help them understand who's the boss around the household, amen? Listen, there's going to be some punishment that goes on. And you know what? God our Father is the very same way. God in flesh, Jesus Christ, says to His church, says, hey, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth, and now over a year's time has went by, and they have preached the word faithfully in Jerusalem. They had knocked on every door and every tent in Jerusalem. They had filled the marketplace, the workplace, the common places out in the community, the parks, the schools. Everybody had heard. But what about Judea? What about Samaria? What about the uttermost part of the earth. Well, that's point number two tonight. And that's this. God's punishment upon a disobedient church. Folks, I stand here tonight as a warning for you. I've already commended you on your testimony and on your involvement in missions and sending missionaries and being very heavily involved financially with missions and giving to missions and all that, and praise God for you and all of that kind of stuff. But listen, don't become complacent. Don't look and say, man, 20 years ago we did this and that and this and that, but today we just can't do it anymore, and look to the past and glory on the past. Hey, we live in the present, amen, and we have a world to reach for Jesus Christ. It starts right here near Jerusalem, but also your Samaria, your Judea, and your uttermost, amen. And don't ever become complacent, because there is punishment that can fall upon a church by the hand of God if we do not obey His commands. Now, turn with me in Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 7 is very interesting there. Stephen, a godly man, is stoned to death there. And Saul of Tarsus, he's standing there watching the whole thing. And he was a persecutor of the church and all that kind of stuff. And as I said, over a year now has went by. And they had all kinds of disciples and all kinds of new converts and all kinds of new Christians that were there. And that church was huge, but Satan didn't like it. And the community, there were some there that didn't like it. And listen, I think God was displeased in this, that they would not take the gospel outside of Jerusalem. So what happens? God sends someone now to the church in Jerusalem. We'll get Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 1. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at where? What's that word? Jerusalem. Well, let me ask you, why weren't they persecuting the other churches? I'll tell you why. Because there aren't any yet. Jesus told them to make disciples, baptize them, and He wanted them to start churches out in Samaria, Judea, in the uttermost part of the earth. But the only place up until this point right now is that very first church in Jerusalem. And Saul, the persecutor, comes on scene. And the Bible says there, and at that time there was not just persecution, but there was great persecution, the Bible says, against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of where? Judea and Samaria. Well, you think about that. Hey, the Jews didn't like that. I'll tell you why. The Jews, if you remember, oftentimes they would walk all the way around Samaria. They didn't want to dirty the soles of their feet by walking in Samaria. Why? The Samaritans were half-breeds. They were half Jew and half Gentile, and the Jews didn't like that one bit. Now, in Judea, guess who lived over there? There was a whole lot of Gentiles that lived there, and I'll introduce you to one in just a few minutes. And the Jews, they didn't want to go over there and mess with the Gentiles and all that kind of stuff. And listen, all of a sudden now, they are kicked and evicted and chased out of Jerusalem. And the Bible says, all were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Boy, I tell you, if you're a pastor of a church, that would be a downer that day. Amen. You got thousands of people meeting, and then you come, it's just you and your staff. Where'd they all go? Well, they were chased out of there by Saul the persecutor, I believe was sent there by God for a purpose. And I'll tell you what that purpose is. That purpose is to get them out of Jerusalem with the gospel, and to get them into Samaria, and to get them into Judea. Amen. What did they do? Look at verse number 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. What does it say? Preaching the word. That's what it says. They went everywhere. Where? Judea and Samaria. Preaching the word. Guess what? That's what Jesus told them to do over a year ago back in Jerusalem before He ascended up into heaven. He said, hey, be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And they said, whoo, we're all about it, Jesus. And they were witnesses in Jerusalem among the Jews for over a year there, but they weren't carrying the gospel to Samaria. They weren't carrying it to Judea. They weren't carrying it up there to the uttermost part of the earth. And so God sends in here now Saul, the persecutor, and He's got great persecution against that church. And all the members are scattered abroad throughout Samaria and throughout Judea, preaching the word. Amen. I tell you what, it would have been a whole lot easier and much more of a pleasant experience for them if they would have done it voluntarily. Don't you agree? But they didn't. They were stubborn. They wouldn't do it. They didn't go out and take the gospel to everywhere that Jesus told them. And so he had to send that persecutor there, and it was very difficult for them and all that kind of stuff. Well, they went everywhere preaching the word. Now look at verse number 5. Then Philip went down into the city of Samaria. Philip the evangelist. Here you go. He's on fire. He's going to Samaria with the plan to preach the gospel. No. That old joker tucked his tail between his legs and he ran out of Jerusalem and he found himself in Samaria. That's what happened. He said, I got to save my own neck, man. I am out of here. And he took off out of there. He's running and he's running. He couldn't run very far. He's probably a fat preacher like me. But anyway, he had to stop, get a drink of water, and he's in Samaria. He gets some water and gets something to eat, and there's some people there, Samaritans. He's like, man, I never talked to a Samaritan before, but I'm here, might as well do it. And he starts sharing his faith with the Samaritans that are there in Samaria. This is happening now for the first recorded time that we see. Verse number 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. With one accord, they came out of their houses and out of their businesses and out of their schools, and they came out to hear Philip on the street preaching the gospel. Amen. What's verse number 8 say? There was great joy in that city. Do you remember when you were saved? Amen. You multiply that by an entire city down here in Samaria. Amen. They came out of the woodwork. You know what happened here? God had been working in their hearts even a year ago. And God in flesh, Jesus Christ, said, I want you to be witnesses in Samaria. Why? Because God was already working in the hearts and working that soil and preparing people to accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't go to Samaria. No way. Half-breeds and all that kind. No, I'm not doing it. They were prejudiced is what they were. But listen, Philip finally goes down there. And the Bible says everybody came out of the woodwork, man. And there was joy in that city. Why? Verse 12. But when they believed, they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Glory. Hallelujah. This is the very first church that was started after the church at Jerusalem. And it started where? In Samaria. And again, that was the intent of the Lord Jesus Christ when he spoke to his disciples back in Acts chapter number 1. In verse number 8, I've got a people prepared, amen. I got a people ready. How shall they hear unless someone goes and preaches to them? And the church, listen, they weren't going to do it. They were content with sitting there in Jerusalem. They loved their old city. They loved the walls around the city. They loved the protection. They loved the culture. We don't need to go to Samaria. We don't need to go to Judea. We're happy here. And God sent the persecutor. And they went out and carried the gospel in Samaria and in Judea. And here we find Philip finally going and preaching and people getting saved by the multitudes. Amen. And a church was established there in Samaria. Also here in Acts chapter number 8, Philip the evangelist, we always hear about him. And finally he got his head out of the sand and he started obeying God. Amen. And he was preaching there to those Samaritans and he was doing a good job, man. And he was baptizing people and he was busy praising the Lord. And man, they even sent down inspectors from Jerusalem. Some of the apostles came down and said, what? This can't be so. All of a sudden they saw these folks had the Holy Ghost too. Amen. And they were baptized. The church was formed, all that. Well, God takes old Philip, takes him and brings him over to another place, and there's a chariot that's riding. And that chariot, the fellow that's sitting in there is a black fellow from Ethiopia. And his name, we don't know, but we call him the Ethiopian eunuch, amen? And where's he been? He's been in Jerusalem for probably several months, celebrating the Passover feast and stuff like that. He's wanting to figure out all this stuff that the Jews do. What is all this about? And he's heard about Jehovah God and he's heard about the God of the Jews. And he went there searching and seeking and all that. And he's been there for a long period of time. But not one of those thousands that were in the church took time to preach to him the gospel. Because now we see him as he's exiting out of Jerusalem and he's heading back to Ethiopia. And he's lost, lost, lost. But he bought a copy of the book of Isaiah. And he's in his chariot and he's reading the book of Isaiah. I believe it's Isaiah chapter number 53. And he's reading along and Philip is joined to that chariot. He says, hey, let me ask you a question there. He said, do you understand what you're reading? And he says to him, he said, "How can I understand lest some man should guide me?" And he says, "Hoo-hoo, let me guide you, amen. Stop that buggy, let me jump on in." And he grabbed that scroll, and the Bible said he began to preach to him Jesus Christ. And guess what? That old black fellow from Ethiopia, he got saved that day, amen. And he was so excited about it, he says, "Hey, what hinders me from being baptized?" And old Philip said, "Hey, you believe with all your heart, don't you?" He said, "Oh yeah, I do." He said, "Well, there's water. Let's stop this thing, get baptized, get her taken care of, amen." And so Philip got down, and the eunuch got down, and he baptized him there. And you read in history about great revivals that took place in Ethiopia. And you know where they trace the beginning of those revivals back to? The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter number 8. Do you know what that represents? The uttermost. Amen. They preach the gospel now in Jerusalem, in Samaria. And now the gospel is taken back to the uttermost. And there were churches established in revival that just swept across that area of Africa back in those days. Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. Verse number 1. "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band." Y'all seen The Godfather, right? He's sitting behind the desk and he's sitting there like this. And I believe that's probably what this old centurion looked like, man. Hey, he had a lot of guys under his authority. He was a military man and so on. "There was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always." Hey, he was a religious man and he was a sincere man, but he was still a lost man. You know, there's a lot of sincere religious people in Tarrant County, but lost, lost, lost. Listen, how can they understand unless some man should guide them? Amen. And here he is. He's praying. The Bible said he's praying all that kind of stuff. And God says, "Hey, I want you to send some men over to Simon to the tanner's house and look for one named Peter. Peter's over there, and invite Peter to come. He's got a word for you." Amen. And so the men under centurion Cornelius' control, they take off and they're going to look for Simon the Tanner and Peter. And the Bible says that Peter's up on the rooftop and he's hungry. Amen. Another good Baptist preacher right there. Peter was hungry. If you read that now, I'm kind of condensing it all. Read it for yourself. Acts chapter number 10. And the Bible says he kind of falls into a trance there as he's up there on the roof. God is fixing to prepare his mind and his heart to deal with a full-blooded Gentile. Because as of this point, he probably hadn't even done it yet. Peter, all right, out of heaven comes down a sheet, as it were, knit by the four corners. Come down and every creeping beast and animal and creeping thing, all that kind of stuff are all over that sheet. And God says, "Hey, Peter, arise, kill, and eat." How did Peter reply? He said, "No, sir, God, I'm a Jew. I have never tasted such things. My lips have never ate. My stomach has never digested any of those things that's on that sheet. And God, I'm not going to do it because I'm a Jew." All right? Goes back up into heaven. You know what this is? Flannel graph. Y'all know what flannel graph are? This is the first flannel graph in history right here. God dropped her down from heaven. Act 2. Boom, it comes back down. All right? All manner of creeping things and four-footed beasts and all that kind of stuff are on there. And he says, "Peter, arise, kill and eat." Peter says, "God, nah. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. Forget it. I'm a Jew and I live by the law. And the law says that I cannot touch those things. I cannot eat those things. I cannot partake. And I'll not do it, God." Be careful. Amen. When God tells you to do something, you know, sometimes we have the same type of reaction. "No, God, I ain't doing it. I ain't going forward. No, God, no, I am not surrendering to missions. God, no, I'm not going to give more to missions this year in Faith Promise. No." That's kind of what Peter was doing here. Well, the sheet goes back up into heaven, Act 3 now. It's the same thing, kind of a boring play, isn't it? Same thing, down from heaven. It comes down, all manner of four-footed beasts and creepy crawly things and critters and all that stuff. And God says to Peter, says, "Peter, hey, take and eat. Kill, take and eat." And Peter's about to open his mouth and God says, "Hush up, fisherman." He said, "Don't you call common or unclean what I have declared clean." And guess what? Peter finally understood. And you know what happened right there? Verse 17. Chapter 10, verse 17. "Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, what does that mean? What's God trying to tell me, huh? And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Amen. You know what Peter would have done before those visions? Those Gentiles coming up and said, hey, we're sent by Cornelius. He's an Italian fella. He wants to have audience with you. Peter said, no, sorry. I can't go into a Gentile's house. I can't keep company with a Gentile. I can't do none of that kind of stuff. And well, God taught him this lesson. Look at verse number 28. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come to one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And so Peter went with those messengers and they went back to Cornelius. And Cornelius loved God and he was searching for God. And Cornelius wanted to be saved. And he had invited all of his neighbors and all of his relatives. And they're all there in the house. And Peter comes to the door and he said, the man of God is here. What do you got to say, Peter? And Peter began to preach to them Jesus Christ. The first time we find evidence outside of the Ethiopian eunuch here of the full-blooded Gentile getting a message right there. Oh, I like it. Guess what? Cornelius got saved. Everybody that was there in the house with him that could understand, boy, all they got saved, all that. You know what? They got baptized. You read that right there. They got baptized, and guess what? There was a church that was formed there. Do you know where Caesarea is located? It's in a place we like to call Judea. Isn't that something? Jesus said, I want you to be witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. They wouldn't do it willingly. God sent punishment upon that church. They were scattered, but they went everywhere preaching the word. Amen. And then the gospel reached the Samaritans. The gospel reached the Ethiopians. The gospel reached right there into Caesarea. Cornelius and his family. Now, the gospel is not to be bound geographically, racially, socially, economically, intellectually. The gospel is for all men. Amen. All colors. Amen. All nations. All races. Amen. We must never forget that. We must never forget that. We must be busy about reaching our Lake Worth and our Fort Worth and our Tarrant County and our Texas and in our United States of America. But listen, we've got to go and preach the gospel. We've got to bring it to all the world, amen? We're to do that if we want to be pleasing to the Lord. Last thing tonight, we talked about God's command to a powerful church and we looked at what happens when a church is not obedient. There's punishment that happens to that church, or can be a punishment that happens to the church. And lastly, I'll be very quick. Mission work is important to God. Therefore, it must be important to you and to me and to Metropolitan Baptist Church. Mission work must be important to us. Praying for mission work is important. Pray therefore for the Lord of the harvest that He'll send forth laborers into His harvest field. Where are the laborers going to come from? The pews of Metropolitan Baptist Church. Amen. Giving financially to the work of missions is important. We must never just grow content with what we've done in the past. We've got to look to the future and be heavily involved in getting the gospel out, no matter what it takes, even if it involves our finances. Amen. Going as a missionary to preach the gospel and to start churches and so on is important work. Preaching the gospel outside of our Jerusalem is so, so very important. I believe that the blessings of God are tied together with obedience to His will. Do you believe that tonight? The blessings of God are tied together with obedience to His will. And if you want to continue to see the blessings of God upon Metropolitan Baptist Church, then I believe that you have to be involved in missions. Amen? Preaching the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I'll just have a word of prayer and then I'll turn it over and you do with it as you need. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, tonight for this dear church, these wonderful people. God, I thank you for the history of this church. And I thank you for the dedicated people that love you, first of all, and love missions, missionaries. And they sacrifice and they give. and all of those types of things. But Lord, maybe you're working in some hearts and you're convicting some hearts tonight. Maybe there's more that they need to do and there's more that they could do. And God, they're not really concerned about the Judea, the Samaria, the uttermost. Lord, I pray that you would just work in their heart and work in their mind. Lord, perhaps there's someone here tonight that is fighting with a call to the mission field. Lord, I remember that as I was a 19-year-old young man, how that you worked in my heart. And frankly, I was surprised when you called me into missions, and I never figured that you could ever use someone like me. But Lord, you did, and I thank you, God, so much for that. I count it a privilege to be placed into ministry, Lord. Perhaps there's someone here tonight, and they think that they couldn't do it on their own, and they think they're too weak or not smart enough or whatever. And Lord, that is probably the case. But we don't have to rely on our own power, our own wisdom, our own might. We surrender to you, and we rely upon you. Lord, help us to never forget that. If you're calling, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be obedient and surrender, and then, Lord, just go forward with you. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and minds, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We heard the challenge from the preacher tonight. And on his last point, missions is important to God, so therefore it must be important to us. And that's the question that I have for you. Is it still important to you? Is it still important to you? Faith promise, that commitment still as exciting as the day that we had our mission conference? It's hard to believe in a church our size that God hasn't called anyone to the mission field. So therefore, has God stopped calling folks, or have we quit responding to His call? Have we put an age restriction on God saying, well, I've reached a certain age, so therefore I cannot go to the mission field? Each one of us have our obligations tonight. What's yours? If you need to do business with God, the altar is open, as Brother Colton sings.
In 108. It may not be o'er the mountains high, or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front, my Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice He calls to pass, I do not know. I'll answer Thee, Lord, with my hand in Thine. I'll go where You want me to go. You want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to
be. Man, can you imagine
be.
The excitement as the church there in Jerusalem was growing, brother? The thousands that were joined there. And then can you see the excitement when people were saved there in Samaria as well? And yet even the Ethiopian eunuch, how exciting the second part of his trip must have been. See, there's something exciting about Jesus Christ when it's introduced into that newborn believer. Amen? It just happens, that joy that comes there. But you know who else I think was excited about it? The one that shared. They had a story to go back and tell. They have a report that we heard tonight of Lithuania. He has a story to tell. And he has a goal and he has an objective to reach, what, four other cities in that area with the gospel. Can I ask you this, Metropolitan Baptist Church? What's your story? What do you got to tell for the work that we have for missions, for our home, for our Judea, our Samaria, and even our uttermost part? Amen? So just say one thing, Lord, yes, to whatever it is, I surrender to whatever it may be. One more verse, Brother Colton.
On the third. There's surely somewhere a lowly place.
harvest field so wide, where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus the crucified. So trusting my all unto thy care, I know thou lovest me. I'll do thy will with a heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
Thank you very much. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen? And good. Well, those of you who have questions for Brother Brian Johnson and his family, they'll be at the very back on the left-hand side of the auditorium. Please stop by and see them. And somebody ask him a question. Where did them pizzas come from? Y'all see the size of those pizzas in Lithuania? God is calling me. Amen? I hear you, Lord. And so praise the Lord for that. But if you have any questions for Brother Brian, please see him on your way out. And it was a blessing to have them and their family here with us. Please remember, if you want to attend the funeral service tomorrow, we'll be at the Dido Cemetery at 11 o'clock tomorrow for there. I do have one request, if I could get some help, please. We need to set up for about 100 folks in the gymnasium. So if you can help me set out some chairs right after we dismiss, we're going to set up inside of the gymnasium. So if any men or women can help me with that, I would greatly appreciate that as well. Pray for our pastor and his wife as they'll be returning tomorrow afternoon back from Ohio. And keep one another in your prayers. Amen. So Brother Colton, come sing a song.
Well, let's be dismissed with the chorus. Going on to our week, every promise in the book.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
You're dismissed. Thank you.